Hey, welcome to the Rookies Podcast. My name is Colin Coffey, here with Rio Taylor and Dr. Daniel Racer. We're going to talk about politics. You know, the one rule is like, don't talk about politics, but we're going to break that rule because the election's tomorrow and we're pastors. It's something that's, you know, affecting our pastoring. So I'd like to ask Rio first, how are you dealing with the election?
So when this gets released tomorrow on election day, we should have said, because election day is the day, but you know, we'll edit that in post. Maybe we'll see. We'll let Daniel handle that. But so for my
rookie's
church,
Rookie's
gonna rookie. So Wednesday night was the first time I really addressed the election, mainly because the week before I didn't teach that night. I had a young man who I mentor come teach for me, and then Sunday, didn't feel led at that time to address it because we were still another Sunday away. But last Wednesday, I taught through Judges, which seemed pretty appropriate to then talk about elections. So I just encourage people to remember that we have a king whose reign is never up for election. He never has to run for re-election because he's always reigning and ruling. I encourage people to vote. So we have a civic duty to do so, and that you need to vote your conscience. And I also warn people, don't ruin relationships on Tuesday that you'll still want to have on Wednesday. So that was kind of my big thing on Wednesday. And then yesterday, which is recording on Monday, yesterday was Sunday, we had a time of prayer because I do the welcome at my church and welcome guests. We shake hands. Then I do a couple announcements just from the pulpit. And I ended with a reading from Psalm 93, The Lord Reigns, and reminded people that I know there's a lot of anxiety going into this week, a lot of nerves, potentially anger. And I just said, and if you have placed your hope in this election, and that's where your hope is found, I would encourage you to find your hope in a king whose reign is never up for election. And pointed them to the Lord who reigns, and that no matter who wins on Tuesday, the Lord will still reign on Wednesday. That nothing is going to change, that God has not sovereignly directed, and that we can trust him. And then we prayed just for our nation and prayed for the election and encouraged people to go exercise their civic duty and vote.
John Newton said it, that the one political maxim that gives him hope is that Jesus Christ is Lord, or Christ is King. And it's a good sentiment and something to remember. Daniel, how are you guys dealing with it, talking through it, pastoring through it?
Yeah, similar to Rio, I didn't really address it until last Wednesday and mentioned it a little bit. And we had it part of our Wednesday prayer meeting. We include that. And so we break up into small groups and pray. And so that was one of the things we prayed for. But that's a small gathering. I talked about it on Sunday morning. I read through Psalm 33 for our call to worship. I did the first few verses, like to begin the service. And then during our time of offering, just talked about how we give to the Lord out of what he has given to us. And so it's an act of worship to give back to him what he's entrusted to us. And as we give to him, it's an act of worship that signifies that he reigns over all. And then I read part of Psalm 33:13, where the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man, where he sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth, and just talked about how the election is coming up and how it is going to be a major day in our country that's going to have impacts for years and maybe decades to come. But just kind of as Rio said, just way less eloquently, to trust in the Lord. And he's already appointed. He's already made the decision who is going to be the leader of our country. And from the local level, state level, all those things that God's in control. And so just try to orient our hearts in an act of worship to him. But then also, as Rio said, encourage people to go out and vote. We recognize that we have that unique privilege where throughout history, and even today, there's a lot of people that don't have that. And so we want to celebrate that the Lord allows us to live in a place where we can choose our leaders and we have a voice in our state government.
Yeah, I think I did something very similar to what you guys described. Read part of Isaiah 45, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And to me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. And then part of 46, which is a great memory verse for us as we get older. I've got gray hair now, so I can read it and claim this verse, but even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. And it's a good reminder that it's God who saves and it's not a political process. And I mentioned that, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday, gloriously, nothing changes for the Christian. the Lord reigns, and there's so much that doesn't get affected. And even if your preferred presidential candidate wins, there's so much to work toward as a Christian, because both parties deny the image of God in different people for different reasons. And Christians should advocate on behalf of the unborn, the immigrant, the marginalized, wherever that is. And both parties are functionally pro-choice at this point. So I just doubled down on our advocacy and work with like Compassion Women's Center in Claremore, things like that, that we should be way more energized by in the four-year cycle than just one vote. Christians should be very active all the time, sharing the gospel and working for God's purposes to be effected. So go ahead, Daniel.
I think that's a good point you make, is that we can't be about protecting the unborn only during the election. It has to be something that is a part of our lives constantly as we hold the image of God in high regard.
Yeah. I think the hard part during this election is everybody's using unequal weights and measures. Because when you come to a decision, this is who I'm supporting, here's why, because they weigh in the balance better than the other person. And anybody who says anything differently than that is either a liar or blind. You know, that's how it's portrayed. And I think that's the difficulty. Rio?
I'd also say that, and this might be the most controversial thing I say on this podcast, but one thing that bothers me is I saw this video, short article, I don't even know, something, saying that when they polled people as to why they were voting for who they were voting for Kamala Harris, most of the votes were because she's not Trump. And then for Trump, there were people who weren't voting it for him, or who were voting for him because he's not Kamala. And here's the thing, as a believer, that is ignorance at best, that is foolishness at worst. Because to vote for somebody because they're not the other person, and not to say you're voting for policies, or to use a Colin said, the weights and measures, it doesn't make sense. It's because be a good steward of your vote, whoever you cast your vote for, know why you're doing it, have a reason you're doing it, and don't just make it a personality or popularity contest. That's not the point of this. The point is policy and what you are on board with and what you have been convicted by.
Yeah. And I shared, I don't know if you guys have done this, let me know if you have. I sent out something akin to a voting guide. I sent it out with the election or the line, to the elect about the election, and how should Christians think about the election season, and included some links to stuff, kind of like a word from 1 Peter 2 on being sojourners and strangers, and Jeremiah 29 on seeking the welfare of the city where God has placed us. And that should be our posture as sojourners and strangers, not making our home here, but trying to affect change positively, push back darkness. And there's a Pray, Vote, Pray article by Brian Hobbs that had five principles from Schaefer that I thought were really good. These principles that you should keep in mind when you vote are not personalities or parties. They're biblical principles, the dignity of the humans involved, the importance of the traditional family, religious freedom of speech in schools, both public and private, human rights, and the need for justice in our world, and the compassionate use of accumulated wealth. What do you guys think about that? Rio, you had a thought.
I just, it's nothing of substance, but one of my favorite professors from OBU, who is currently preaching at Quail Springs Baptist in Oklahoma City, he is working through Ephesians right now. And I'm so jealous that he's working through Ephesians at this time, because when he did Ephesians 1:3-14, he titled a sermon, "The Only Election That Matters." And I was so mad good. That I would never come up with a sermon titled that good. And I got to wait 4 years to do it now.
So timely. Bobby Kelly he's the greatest. Do you guys ever send information like that out to your members? Voting guides, articles, anything?
I don't. I need to get better at that. I'd like to do a more of a newsletter type thing, kind of like you did with the voting, but just to be honest, I never have. I haven't started it yet, but I probably should.
Well, I've shied away from a voting guide proper because a lot of the time it's no information. It's just, this is who I'm voting for, check mark by the Republican or the Independent. And I'm not going to do something like that. I want to give people information to make their own decisions and not just give them like my, here are my picks.
Yeah. And I think that's ideally what our preaching does week in and week out, is that it is helpful to have a very clear guide, but you also hope that as they sit under the word being taught, they're understanding the importance of the decision they're making and why they're making that decision, not just because of, as you said earlier, popularity or people, but the policies they're deciding, they're casting their vote towards, are the policies of the Bible. It reflects God's authority and God's word and God's purpose for how we ought to live. But to answer your question, I think if I'm really honest, I can be very apathetic towards politics, and I know that's probably not a good thing. But for me, it's never just been something I've been passionate about. I followed this election season more than I ever have before, because I am interested in what's going to happen, because we really don't know. It just seems like it's up in the air. So the results will be interesting one way or the other, and then to see how it plays out. But I think both of you made really good points, just how Christians behave and how we treat ourselves and how we treat one another in the next few days and weeks and months ahead.
One thing that I just believe all believers need to keep in mind during this season is there are very few times as an American Christian, or very few seasons, that have a tendency to be used by the enemy to divide us more than election season. You know, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, make every effort to maintain unity in the bond of peace. You see throughout Philippians, which I'm preaching through right now, Paul is huge on church unity. And what we tend to do during election cycle, which we can't do, is demonize those who think differently than us. Now, we all have our opinions and our convictions on this, and this isn't a podcast telling you how to vote. We've all talked about it amongst ourselves, and we know how we're going. The reality is, though, is that I can't hate someone who claims Christ because they arrive at a different vote than I do. And I may disagree with them. I might have fundamental disagreements with them. But that doesn't mean that I should ostracize them and hate them or believe that their salvation is tied to the political party in whom they vote.
Bart Barber, who was recently president of the Southern Baptist Convention, had a great post on the election day, and his principles were good. If the Lord tarries, we'll inaugurate a new president of the United States. I'll pray for him or her sincerely on every occasion when I can. I'll praise the good things he or she does. I'll look for the opportunity to pass over criticism of bad things he or she does. Where I must criticize, I'll do so with civility. I'll not tell jokes that are demeaning of him or her, nor will I encourage others in sharing such jokes with me. I will not slander by listening to, sharing, tweeting, or posting conspiracy theories about him. Whenever I can do so without disobeying God, I will obey him. I will do these things not because of anything I owe him or her. I will do these things because I'm a servant of Jesus and because I'm commanded in Romans and 1 Peter to relate in a particular way to those who rule over me. And I think that is a thoroughly Christian viewpoint and something that we should all strive for. Rio?
I think the biggest thing, and I don't want to just keep cutting Daniel out here, regardless who wins tomorrow, pray. Regardless if your candidate wins, you pray. Regardless if the candidate loses, you pray. And to worry, to rant without going to the Lord in prayer first is always the wrong response for a believer.
And to demonize or treat other people poorly is an idolatrous response. If you can't stand to be around somebody because of their politics, it's because you have an idol.
And I think what you read from Bart Barber's, he's just fantastic. I love listening to whenever he talks, whenever he writes. But one thing that really just shocked me the last several years is the number of Christians that I both heard and saw sharing "Let's Go Brandon" stuff.
Yeah, inappropriate.
And I talked about it from the pulpit. You know, I just said, well, you know what that stands for, and yet you would never say those words out loud. Why do we need to hide behind something? And I think it's just as you said, Colin. It could be idolatry and how we can glorify an individual and at the same time tear down someone else. that the way Christians handle themselves during election season can bring out the worst. And I think it's important to guard our hearts and to continue to trust in God and to try to live Christ-like, even around people that we maybe don't agree with, people we don't get along with. We can still share the love of Jesus in the way that we communicate by the things that we don't say, that maybe our sinful heart feels like we want to say, but then also just the way we love them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So whoever wins tomorrow night, we're going to enjoy the life that Christ has given us and steward it well and keep pastoring people faithfully, pointing to the word. And my hope is that the church will model the sort of civility that ought to be embodied in our larger body politic. I mean, our founders said our constitution is made for a free and religious people. And in that way, we should be the best citizens out there and the least anxious. You don't make good decisions when you're anxious. It's not the posture of a Christian. You're either trusting God or you're doubting him and you're anxious. And so that, I think, is something I need to preach to myself. But as I've trusted more in God and grown up in my faith, I think I've been less anxious around election season and been able to enjoy election night more and more. So, and let's have an election party. Y'all should come over to my house. Not you, Rio. You're too far away. But just watch the results.
That'd be great. Let's just send Rio pictures, how much fun we're having, all the good times.
Yeah.
Well, we all do that. I'm going to get off here because I have to go to an associational meeting tonight because it's that time of year for Southern Baptists and state conventions and associational conventions. But just before Colin wraps us up, be prayerful, vote your conscience, but please go vote.
Yeah,
go absolutely.
Vote. See you guys.
Bye, everybody.